evening. Wow, it's been a long day. And welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, had to make sure I was still broadcasting for a second there, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, all skerfunked, and it is a wonderful day. I finally got out to do some fishing, finally, after being sick for so long. Feel 100 times better, got some new meds in me, and the fish are shaking out there. Because I don't know what I want to do first. Go offshore. Fish inshore. Go out to Cobia. Reds. Marlin. There's an absolute marlin bite out here right now. Just north of us. Oh, it's awesome. Anyway, back to what I was getting at. Welcome again. People are starting to line up in the chat room. Welcome. Once everyone kind of settles down, we'll get right to introductions. Yeah. It's a great time to be alive, folks. Beautiful weather, you know, it's August, it's about ready to hit boondoggle time, and I see our friend from Fishing Florida Radio, Mr. Steve Chapman, is in the house tonight. Thanks, Steve. You can always catch Fishing Florida Radio, folks, on 740thegame.com, or if you're in Central Florida, it's 7:40 a.m., or 12:30 a.m., I believe, too, and other spots. We'll go to 740thegame.com Saturday mornings from 6 till 9, I believe, or is it 5 to 9? I can't remember. I always tune in around 6 and then do whatever I need to do. Anyway, check them out. They always have some great contests, great group of guys, Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego, and Boudreau. Three awesome dudes, except for that, you know, Boudreau guy. He's kind of weird. But anyway, great show. Check them out. And I just want to give them props for doing our excellent Virginia Beach Boondoggle soundbite. Here we go.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com. The ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That's right. Thank you, Steve, for doing that awesome soundbite for us, buddy. All right. Let's get right to it. You heard about the boondoggle. If you don't know, now you're going to know. Tell your friends. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Virginia Beach Boondoggle, October 5th through the 8th. It is going to be awesome sauce approved. We got some great things going on. We got, you know, it's going to be a great time of the year. Hopefully, you know, the red tide's finally starting to push out. Thank everyone, you know, all the little, you know, people out there. The red tide's leaving. It's going to be a great, great time of the year to be up here. I can't say that enough. So get up here, have some fun. Like I said, we got some great things on the pike and more of that to come. So put that in your data book. Let's see here. Let's hello to everyone in the chat room. Why don't we? We have one guest. Remember, guests, you can always call in, and anyone else for that matter can call in during the show. It's 714-816-4727. Feel free to call in anytime. Talk to us, during a live show at least. Call in and talk to us. We'll be more than willing to talk to you, share your knowledge, or ask questions. That's what we're here for. Well, guess you can sign into the chat room. Go straight down to brain fart. The bottom of that screen there. You're going to see register, log in. Just log in. Hit the log in button as long as you have Facebook. Click on that Facebook icon. Magically, you're signed in. As easy as that. Or you can register with Blog Talk Radio. Still pretty simple. All right. I know I'm talking fast. I'm just too excited. Doing show research and listening. Thanks, Steve. but let's get to the topic of the night because I'm really excited about this. Redfish, puppy drum. I kind of like to do outside the norm kind of things. If you any of you guys have ever had the opportunity to fish with me before for puppy drum, I don't do the norm. Is the best way to put it. You know, everyone thinks that doing a spinnerbait for a puppy drum is, you know, breaking the mold. Hate to tell you, I do crazier stuff than that. And we're going to break down all those things. They're all from around the country that I use here. But let's get right to it. Right now in Lynn Haven and Rudy, we have a lot of, anywhere in Virginia right now, we have a lot of small puppy drum with some bigger ones mixed in. And what I find to catch those bigger fish are those different baits. And the first one that I use a lot that kind of people go, I don't know about that one. Good old-fashioned, everyone who bass fishes uses them, drop shot. I know, going out on a limb there with that one. But a drop shot is an excellent bait for redfish, okay? And this is how I do it. Regular drop shot setup, about a size 1 to 1 aught, octopus hook, not a silk hook, it's an octopus hook, okay? 12 inches in between the hook and the weight. I'm using a 1/4 ounce to 1/16 ounce weight. I'm not using a whole lot of weight here. And here's why. Because I'm going to put a 6-inch ribbon worm on there. Okay? Real, the skinniest, you know, fluke or worm that you can find that's real limber. And then all you're going to do is just, you know, drop shot fashion, you know, up about 1/4 inch behind the head and out through the nose. So this way, you're just hooking the very front, okay? We're going to start off with on the flat. Here on the flat, you're throwing everything else at him. You're throwing crab. You're throwing everything you can. They're just not hitting it. Take that drop shot and launch it in front of them. Drag it to where you think it's going to intercept their path. Instead of hold the rod tip straight up and down, bring the rod to your side so it's almost parallel to the water, about 2 inches above the water surface, okay? On a flat, that's going to bring the line angle down. So this way, that worm heads up, the tail should be just brushing the bottom, or just brushing the bottom, okay? And all you're going to do is just give it a couple snaps of that rod tip, okay? That's going to make that bait kind of snap a little bit, okay? And it looks kind of like one of those big sea worms that come out of the bottom, okay? I don't know what it is about up here. I don't know if you guys can do that down in Florida there, Steve, to try it out. But up here, it works excellent. That you actually see that red tern come after it. Great thing about it is he doesn't hit it from the bottom side. He comes over top, and he tries to eat the whole thing. Okay, so the moment you feel that hit, set the hook. He's got it already. That line and everything's caught in his maw. Set the hook and fight your fish. Another great way of doing it is to use one of those smaller gulp peeler crabs. I think they're the only ones I've seen in that size. And I just barely skin hook them. So the bait will actually hold flat, parallel to the bottom, and do the same thing. It looks like a small blue crab out here, because blue crabs, naturally, when they are threatened, don't skitter along the bottom as much as they will go to the surface. Okay, they use those little back fins, and they go to the surface, okay? By you putting that drop shot, you can let some line down, or release some line, put that bait on the bottom, because it's naturally going to sink anyway, okay? And when they come close, you just raise the rod up. It looks like that bait's kind of skimming up naturally from the bottom and doing that angle that you want at the top. And you actually see that sucker come up and just hammer the bait. It is awesome. I did it just this morning, and I was as happy as a clam. How well it worked. Had a couple of nice reds in Lynn Haven, scooting around. I could see them pushing water on one of the flats, and it was great. I was so happy to get out and catch a fish finally. But drop shots, don't be afraid to use them. Deep water, same way you would use them for bass, just straight up and down. That's when you're going to use about a half ounce to an ounce, depending on how deep you are, in those channels and sloughs. And just, you know, work the rod tip. Make it look alive. For those that know, and those who still have them, the Secret Weapon Lures recoil rig for this is excellent. More on recoil rigs on a later show. Like I said, try drop shots. You'd be surprised what else you catch. You'll catch big croaker. You'll catch flounder. And it's not a tap-tap-tap flounder bite. It's a hammered flounder bite. And then, you know, just try a drop shot in the salt water. It works. Trust me. I think trust me a lot, haven't I? Yeah. All right. Second non-conventional tip that I use. Everyone uses crankbaits. And now the rattle trap scene is starting to pick up thanks to live target lures and their pinfish style rattle trap. But I use a deep diving crankbait. Okay. Bomber makes a great one. Everyone else, but everyone uses the square bill or the short bill, certainly run them in, you know, 2 or 3 feet of water. I use a larger bill with light wire connected with about 12 inches of light wire with an Albright knot on that wire as well, tying my main line to the wire. Now you're going, man, why are you using wire and, you know, on a crankbait? You know, it's just, why are you using wire for redfish in general? Answer is this. I run those, you know, I'm using a crankbait that should be diving 12 to 15 feet in 5 foot of water. Okay, I'm going back to my bass principles. The reason for the deep diving crankbait with the wire is that I'm running it through oyster beds. Crankbaits are the perfect bait for running around oyster beds and not losing your bait or destroying your line in the process, especially when you're using that 12 inches of wire. You have the tieable wire. It's the titanium nickel. You can buy a sleeve of it. I think I use a 20-pound. It's tieable. You're not worried about haywire twists or sharp points or anything like that. And it's got a little bit of stretch to it, too, which is perfect for crankbaits. But you're going to there's a flat in Lynn Haven that's got a bunch of really nice oyster clumps all over it, okay? Those who fish Lynn Haven know what I'm talking about. It's about, I'm going to say, 200 yards, 300 yards from the boat ramp. But everyone goes in there and they fish the sloughs that are in there, and they're great, too. But at high tide, those oyster clumps are surrounded by reds this year. I did this twice today and caught 3 reds back to back to back to back. I just absolutely, the last one destroyed the crankbait. That's a good thing to have, isn't it? So what you're going to do is you're going to toss this bait out, okay? As soon as it hits the water, you just start cranking. And I'm not talking, you know, a nice slow retrieve. I'm talking about get that bait down and let it start digging its own little slough in the pluff mud, okay? This is where you're going to want a heavy action rod or a heavy rod, okay, with, you know, a decent, you know, slow bend to it as well. So this way you're not taking too much abuse on the line, okay? Start cranking it, get it down there, then slow down your retrieve a little bit. Let it look like a bait fish is skirting that bottom, okay? Small croaker will do this, small spot. An oyster toad. Any little of those bait fish trying to get down in the mud, okay? That's what you're... yes, Arlie, you heard crankbaiting for reds. So that bait is just really digging in there, okay? When you hit one of those oyster spots, you'll know it. So all of a sudden, you'll just stop, okay? And your rod will start to load up because you're still reeling, okay? Slightly release it. That bait's going to start to lift up, like in crankbait will, because it's a floater. It'll float up. As soon as you feel that float, snap the rod tip. It's going to hit that oyster and ricochet off. That's when the hit's going to come, okay? Because those reds are seeing that pluff mud puff up. They're going to scoot over, take an investigative look, okay? And they can't really see that bait yet, okay? But that's going to float up in front of them, all right? So you're giving it some slack. And when crankbaits float back up, they don't go vertical. They kind of slide back a little bit, especially if there's tension in the line first. It's kind of that slingshot or bow and arrow thing that you'll do if it gets snagged. Same thing. Start to float up. I count to one, maybe two counts, okay? And then that's when I'm going to snap that rod and bounce that bait off that oyster, okay? What that's imitating is that bait just is kind of coming back up, kind of looking around, okay, and he sees that redfish, and he panics, and he runs, and he slams into that oyster by accident. And, of course, as soon as they hit that thing, they're going to bounce off it like a madman, okay? I'm going to give it one or two more cranks, okay, get it back in that mud, and then just do it all over again. If it takes more than three cranks and you don't have a hook up, get that next oyster. Do the same thing until you get that bite. To keep your bait from getting snagged, remove the front treble, okay? Two trebles in a redfish, those that know, that's the last thing you want flapping around in a red's mouth. That's when it starts getting in their eyes and stuff like that. Single hook or single treble in the back is more than enough. If you're having issues where your bait's not running right because you removed that front treble, buy some of those sticky Storm makes them. I don't know if they still make them, though. I bought so many when they had them. Little stick-on lead weights that you can put right on there. You know, one or two are more than enough to replicate the weight of that crankbait. Okay? And I'm telling you, it is deadly when it's a great search technique. Going back to bass fishing, searching, sitting in one spot, and I'll fan cast an area, okay? If I don't get a bite, I move on. Simple as that. I don't keep working the same flat because you're putting up a lot of mud. You know, if you do it right and you go, okay, the current's running from left to right, I'm actually going to start at the right. So this way, I'm always going into fresh, clear water. That makes sense, okay? And, of course, the good old-fashioned square bell gold, if you can find, who makes them? Rebel makes a gold crankbait. And it's maybe about total length of barrel and all, maybe 3.5 inches, if that. And those who know, gold is like redfish crack color. You know, same as Donald Trump likes green. But, you know, run a crankbait. Just remember, those hooks are meant on many of those baits out there. Arlie asked, missed what type of bill. The bill that I use is the deep diving style. The one with it's real bulbous on the very end. It's a thin coming out of the bait, and it just kind of makes a real big bulbous face. That's what keeps the bait from really getting snagged. And you're going to want to use wire, the lightest wire. Like a 20-pound wire. If you can't find the nylon, Teflon stuff where you can actually tie a cinch knot or a nail knot to it, just use regular single-strand wire, haywire twist, okay? Just a small little haywire, nothing too huge. And then run about 12 inches up and run and tie on. You can do it, trust me. You can tie an Albright to wire, okay? Use the wire as your double. Bend it over, run your main line, tie like you normally would, cinch it down real tight. If you're having a problem with braid, tie on a 2-foot section of mono. I'm going to say 20-pound mono, and then to your wire. And the reason you use a wire is you will not cut up your line like you will use a mono. You do that technique, and you've got that little piece of mono stuck on one corner or one little edge of that oyster. And you snap that rod tip, you just broke off your bait. Luckily enough, you can paddle over and pick it up, but you just destroyed that hole. You just pushed all the reds off of that spot. But by using that thin wire, you won't have to worry about breaking off as much. Just make sure it's not kinked after you bring it in a couple of times. If it's kinked, just retie it. It's real simple to tie. You can become efficient at doing a haywire twist. It'll be your friend. All right. Third technique that most people won't use, and it's not really a technique as it is a style, and that is using the South Florida chumming technique. If you ever watch Jose the Spanish Fly and the late Jose Wahebe, he did a thing on tarpon fishing that really got my mind going. And they were using pilchards and pinfish and taking, you know, green bait or white bait, whatever you call it down there, Steve, and taking a handful of it, taking one or two out of the net, and bouncing it off the motor, okay, into a hole or into a channel, and letting that, you know, wounded bait float down, okay? What this did was it brought fish from all over the area to that spot, okay? And then using a live bait, fly-lined out, that wasn't hurt before until he got a hook in his head, okay, to go out there. It incited a feeding frenzy. They were catching, excuse me, folks, tarpon. They were catching everything, all right? Permit, big jacks, sharks, I mean, just out of their mind kind of stuff. So what am I getting at? This, what you're going to do is you're going to get a cast net and cast net the tin fish, some of those, you know, mullet, stuff like that, okay? Get a decent amount of them in your live well if you have one, or bucket or whatever, okay? Get to a spot, there's a deep hole that the current is rushing through there, okay? So that bait goes, all right? And all you're going to do is grab one or two of those, you know, baits, okay, and sidearm trap like you're, you know, a baseball pitcher, and bounce them off the front of your kayak and let them skip off there into that hole, okay? Do this every minute, 2 minutes, okay? While that's out there, go with the old school red and white bobber, okay? Put that about, I'm going to say, 2 feet, 2 to 3 feet over your hook, okay? And what I use is a circle hook for this, all right? I use a plain old 3-aught circle hook right to the nose of the bait, send it out there so it's right in where all these baits are landing. I'll do 2 or 3 pitches before I even put my bait out, okay? What I'm trying to figure out is, okay, all those baits are landing here, okay? And they're floating to here. That's where I'm going to bring my bait. So I'll throw a couple out there, cast my line. I'll let it float with the current because that thing is going the same speed as those wounded baits, okay? So that's that mass school. And it comes off, and when they're there, it might take 20, 30 minutes. But once they're there, you can consistently sit there and catch your fish, bring them in, take your picture. While you're taking your picture, you throw one or two of those baits out. It keeps the schools there of fish. So you're not just catching reds. You're catching stripers. You're catching, you know, flounder, trout. Everything's going to come there because now there's, you know, this bait all of a sudden floating through the water that's being hurt. It's a natural thing. And I'll do this a lot of times on outgoing tide from a flat into a slewer channel. And I'll make sure that those baits are landing just on the same side, just on the edge of the flat. So as they start coming over that edge, it's that natural feeding principle that all of our fish use. Sometimes I won't even use a float. If I'm working a flat like that, I'll just toss that bait fly lining out and let it naturally do itself. Now, you don't have to use bait, and some people don't, that's fine, or chum like that, because it is a chumming style, but it is extremely effective, and I recommend trying it. It's a lot of fun. You can catch a lot of fish, a lot of different fish, too. So definitely check that technique out. And use it not only for redfish. Use it for striper. Use it for tuna if you get a chance to go offshore. We call it the tuna ladder to heaven, because if you have fish that sound deep, especially on a full moon, all right, if I go out tuna fishing right out during a full moon, I'm making sure I get one or two flats of either butterfish, of bunker. If I have a freezer full of refrozen ballyhoo or cigar minnows or anything like that, I'll take them and use them as well. All right, and all you're going to do is cut them up into chunks. You know, this is offshore, of course. And then, you know, every 2 or 3 minutes, drop 3 or 4 baits in the water and wait. Okay, and then drop 3 or 4 more, 2 or 3 other minutes later. And basically those tuna that are down deep are going to slowly move up because they're now feeding, okay? And just have, you know, cut baits out there and they'll eat them and you'll catch a fish. That's why we call it the stairway to heaven. Great techniques there. Have I mothershipped this year yet? Yeah, I have mothershipped this year. And it was a test mothershipping with a buddy of mine. Unfortunately, his boat has been out of commission. No, it's okay. His boat has been out of commission pretty much all summer. So I think he just got it. He's going to get it back this week. So after, you know, a few trips out to break in the engines, I think we're going to try doing it hardcore for the fall tuna bite that is in October when they start moving back down from up north. And that's going to be a good old time there. But definitely try using live baits like that. Always a good choice, you know, especially this time of year where we've got so many juvenile fish out there. They work really, really well. Let's see here. I'm looking at my notes and everything else. Here are things that I use. Something different in rigging. I have a lot of shrimp baits, cheap shrimp baits that are out there, because I buy a lot of stuff and I go, I wonder if this will work. But take a shrimp, instead of rigging it through the head like you normally would, rig it from the midsection to the head. If that makes any sense. So you're actually, the lead head is facing its tail, all right, and then when you cast that out there, reel it in, and it looks like the shrimp's trying to get away. The tail kind of curves underneath. It works just for something different. It's one of my, you know, if the bite's kind of hard and I can see them and they're just not feeding, try that. Going back to the bass thing, tubes. Yes, I said it. A tube is one of my secrets. You can find them. Zoom makes them. A clear silver flake tube, about the 4-inch size, rigged weedless. Basically, what you're going to do is, the easiest way to do it is a swim bait hook, and that's a 4-aught swim bait, whatever weight you want to go, as heavy or as light as you want to go, with a screw lock on it. Screw it in the nose. Rig it the normal way that you would a weedless tube. If you don't know how to rig a weedless tube, basically what you're looking for is a hook big enough that the bend from where the point starts in the bend itself to come right up the back, or right where the opening where the tentacles are of the tube. okay? 4-aught usually works perfect for me, so I don't tighten my screw lock all the way down. I usually leave a little bit of gap. But you're going to bring it up, barely skin hook it, okay? And then work it like you would a jerkbait with a couple of nice little snaps in there. What that's going to do is make that tube zigzag back and forth. Bounce, and especially on a nice flat, we were talking like a 3 to 4 foot flat, and use a heavier weight. We're talking 1/8 ounce, 16th ounce, the hooks here. So like when you snap it, it's going to shoot up a little bit into the side, and it's going to hit the bottom right as you're snapping the rod tip again. Okay? It looks like a bait fish that's trying to get away. It's a great search bait. If you want to add a little bit more flair to it, go ahead and use a rattle. One of the larger tube rattles that are out there. And a little bit of glue, super glue. Take the tube, push the rattle inside, take the super glue, and dab it on the back end. Let it dry. Don't squish the tube. Don't do anything crazy. Just let it dry, air dry. I pre-rig a bunch of tubes like that the night before, so this way I know they're completely dry, and I don't have to worry about anything collapsing on top of them. And then when I'm out there, I just screw lock, skin hook, toss it out there. Now I have something that's going to, create some noise, more than just that weight bouncing off the bottom, a little rattle. It makes it sound more like a shrimp or, what's got really tough, like a spot where it's got those scales or, that crumply sound works really, really well. Also, buy some Mylar. The Mylar stripping that you can eat, every time it moves, it kind of crinkles a little bit. Similar to what's in storm baits or those swim baits. Or take some of the old ones that you might have, remove the plastic, and take the Mylar out or that flash out. It crinkles a lot. Go ahead and take that, cut it into strips, and glue it to the side of your favorite swim bait. Add it to, an old spoon that you might have. Everyone's done it. That spoon sits in your tackle for so long, you forget about it. You finally want to go to use it, you pull it out, and it's rusted or corroded it all to hell. Go ahead, if you can, remove the hook, put a new hook on there, and use some clear damp polish on the spoon, after you clean it, of course, and then put that flash on there. Let it get a little crinkled so it has a little deflection of light. Okay? And you just made yourself a brand new, effective spoon. Something different. And that's what it's all about, is doing the different. People that have ever been on trips with me know that I talk about what's different. How can I make this bait different? Taking a gulp, for instance. And everyone's throwing gulp. And no one's catching. And who would have thought the gulp would never catch fish? All right, and they all use the 4-inch swimming mullet. And you know what I'm talking about, the one with the curly tail on it. Go ahead and take a pair of scissors and go from the point and split the tail. So now you have a double tail on there. It's going to take less movement or less, movement of that bait for those the tail to move. And plus, it's real pulsate. It pulsates a lot more. Not as much. It's not as thump. It creates not a huge thump, is the best way to put it. It's a more subtle bait. That's what I'm looking for. Excellent. Different. Doing Slayer coming out with the Sinister Stick Bait. If you don't throw a stick bait for redfish, then you're missing out, especially on flats. And I'm talking about flats a lot because this year's redfish, if anyone's been out there a while, the bigger reds are on the flats, okay? And they're tailing this year. You can go out there, If you go out there tomorrow morning, okay, get to one of the farther flats out there where there's not a lot of boat traffic or a lot of noise, those reds are out there tailing like crazy on the, you know, those thin flats. It's pretty insane. You know, everyone's saying, whatever. But I'm telling you, they're sitting there and they're tailing. So get out there. It's a great opportunity to catch a lot of fish, a lot of good fish, too. Let's see here. I know I've got one more. I know I didn't write it down. I'm kicking myself for not doing it. So, guys in the chat room, do you have any crazy uses or any different techniques that you would use to catch redfish? Think about that for a second as we begin our Osarch Minute. Yes, folks, that sound, it means that it's time for the Osarch Minute, brought to you by Osarch Research Institute. Sorry, yeah, Jim kind of caught my eye in the chat room. This segment is brought to you by Osarch and Shark Wranglers on the History Channel. Tune in every Sunday night to Shark Wranglers on the History Channel at 11 Eastern. Great show. Great group of guys doing a huge amount of good for the apex predator out there. In my eyes, one of the most important species that needs protecting, and that is our sharks. But for those up in Cape Cod, keep an eye out. The MV Ocean is heading your way. Beginning in September, I believe, the ocean will be, and the Shark Wrangler crew are going to be out there, hopefully catching and tagging great whites out of Cape Cod. So Hammerhead and all y'all up in New England, keep an eye out for those guys. They'll be up there soon. It's going to be a great thing. I'm extremely excited. I'm hoping to make a trip up there at some point. But definitely check that out. And remember, folks, support Osarch, support CCA, and everyone that is involved in protecting our coastal waters and our pelagic species. So please watch Shark Wranglers only on the History Channel. Go to history.com to catch any episodes you might have missed. Can't go wrong there. All right. Let's see here. King Rat says, I am so hooked on stripers, that is what I fish for most nights. Yeah, and the stripers are going to pick up here soon. Once the water temps start dropping back down, all those, in September into October, they're going to pick up. And that's one of my favorite times of the year, personally, especially when it's still warm and they move in hot. I don't have to wear 20 layers of clothes. It's the best time. let's see here. Hammerhead says, I can't wait. Hope to see them when I go down there for Albies. False Albacore, gotta love it. So those are some excellent fighting fish. I wish we had them more here in Virginia. T. Moore says, not sure about sharks. I'll stick with blues. Well, they are kind of sharkish. Kinger says, the start. Oh! Here's a report. They are starting to show up at the HRBT. So those that are out there, nighttime fishing, look for those stripers in the light line. We'll do a light line show here in a few weeks to kick everything off. I'm one of my favorite times of the year. Top water bite. Excellent. Anyway, let's see here. All right. Sorry, just trying to keep everything in line. Oh, no, I didn't do. I didn't do my fishing report. My bad. So So we'll do the fish report for South and North Carolina. Red tides are around. Still down there. But take your time. Find those spots. The redfish are thick down in South Carolina right now. You can't go out there without catching, you know, 5 to 10. Really nice reds. Trout's actually starting to pick up, too, in North Carolina. And the king mackerel are everywhere off the Outer Banks. So if you're in, Corolla or Avon, that's two still up here. Avalon, that's the one I'm looking for. Get off those beaches and get into those king mackerel. They're real screaming goodness right there, boys. Up to Delaware, again, still dealing with that red tide, but luckily enough, we're having some water pushing out finally. Some cleaner water coming in, and that's really going to help things down the road. But the flounder bite's still good. The croaker bite is excellent. Some black drum are also being caught because they just finished their spawn. So they're starting to feed up again. So definitely get in on that. The Ocean City guys, congrats to the people that won the Ocean City White Marlin Tournament. Tuna was signed. A 260-some-odd pound big eye took the tuna. I mean, that's a big, big eye. Good on you, man. Those guys, I can't remember the name of the boat. I do apologize. But they won that Calcutta, boy. Good job on them. The flounder bite's been really good as well. And the brain fart. For those that are going offshore, sorry. pretty much every pelagic out there is doing well off the Washington Canyon. And Ocean City's where to be right now if you were going offshore in the Mid-Atlantic region. Into the bay. Stripers are being caught. The croaker, the spot, all in the mid-bay. Live line and live spot and croaker over the deeper holes. And then the humps have been producing some really nice stripers up in Maryland. So if you're up there, have some fun with it, boys. They're pulling hard. Down in Virginia, hear ye, the tarpon are here. The tarpon have been in for a few weeks now, but the bite went insane this past weekend. There were numerous reports of 2 to 3 tarpon landed trips with just as many lost fish. So for those of us that are willing to cross the Baybridge Tunnel, or if you're lucky enough to live on the Eastern Shore, get out there, take a croaker, take a live mullet, live line that big boy out there in some of the holes off of oyster, and oyster's where it's at right now for those big tarpon. You can really do some damage. What eats tarpon? Shark. Shark eat tarpon. There's some really big sharks over there too, so be wary. But yeah, the tarpon bite went insane recently. For those of us that can get out in the mid bay with the boat, big schools of drum are still around. They're by the third and fourth island, Oceanside. You can see them swimming on the surface. Big bucktail or a big swim bait going into the middle of the school is going to produce for you. But that would be, if you get out a boat, that would be the best way to do it. On down to the south side. You heard it. Puppet Drum and Lynn Haven. Puppet Drum and Rudy. Really good action right now. The flounder bites kind of died off, but the puppy drum action. I mean, if you're not coming in with 5 or 6 puppy drum, I mean, granted, they're not the biggest ones, but it's still pullage on light line. You can do really well. On the ocean side, down in Sandbridge, get past the red tide that's still there, if you can. Get some live bunker from the schools that are running through there, if there's still schools. Omega's been on the out right on the edge of the bay, destroying the Manhattan for the past week. But if you can find a school in Manhattan, get a handful, snag them, do whatever you can. Start trolling with some live, or balloon them out, live bunker, and tear them up. The Kings are around thick in Sandridge. So go out there and enjoy it. The trout rod right now would be perfect for the puppy drum action, because they're all around, you know, between 10 and 15-inch puppy drum. Not a huge fight, but they will, you know, on a light rod, will do a lot of fun. You know, this is the time to get a bunch of buddies together. You know, let's have a Scooby-Doo rod competition. It's Northern Kingfish, sea mullet, gotta love them. This is the time to get into them. All right. And do people eat tarpon? Yes, they do. 3 years ago, I guess it is now. Wow, it's been a while. I was the net man for the tarpon that was caught off of Sandwich Pier by Paul Franklin, I believe his last name is. But the fish, unfortunately, did die. He did eat it, and he said it surprisingly reminded him of herring. I know that Florida and in many other states, you can't, you know, bring a tarpon out of the water. Virginia doesn't have that law. So if you do lose a tarpon, okay, it does die. Give it a try. It's it's really good stuff there, apparently, for what he told me. Like, if you like herring, you'll like that. Yakchum says, so he didn't die. Don't know what you're talking about, man. The tarpon that Paul caught did go belly up at the end of the fight. We tried reviving it and it didn't come back. So, there. All right. We've gone just under our hour. I'd like to thank everyone for showing up in the chat rooms. Really appreciated. Remember, tomorrow night is the original show with Chip the Chew Hugger Gibson. Same time, 8 o'clock, same place. It was a lot of fun. And if you're getting up early on Saturday morning, tying rigs, or just enjoying a cup of coffee and a newspaper, and you don't live in Florida, or even if you do, tune into 740 The Game and listen to Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego, and Boudreaux talk fishing Florida. Well, they do eat them. Steve Chapman says people do eat them, but you got to have a tag. But it's like bonefish in the Bahamas. They eat the hell out of them. Awesome. Cool. Steve, do you have any special guests this coming Saturday? Go to 740 The Game. Oh, for future reference, it will make you poop better, coming from Mr. Chapman. Thank you. I think Boudreaux needs to eat some more tarpon. He's full of poop. So if you're not down in Florida and you want to listen to these guys, it's a great show. I can't say enough about them. Go to 740thegame.com, hit the live stream, and you can listen to them, and it's a lot of fun. This coming Saturday, Swamp Brothers and some other people are going to be on the show. It'll be a good time. I'm actually going to call them this weekend, man, if I'm not going on my buddy's boat. Say hello. It's the least I can do. You know, you guys are here enough. So, with that, I'd like to thank everyone in the chat room, all the guests, Hammerhead, Greg Chris, the King Rat up in Williamsburg, there's a T. Morris in the Northeast,
Mr. Yachum out of Jersey, Mr. R. Lee, call in and win their prizes. Yes, they always have prizes and giveaways and all that good stuff on the Fishing Florida radio show. Mr. R. Lee, brother from another mother, and Mr. Steve Chapman, I'm hopefully going to see you soon. Plan on coming down there to Florida at some point in the near future. Start thinking, folks, about the next boondoggle. I know we haven't gone over this first one, but start thinking about where you want to go and go to yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information and put your word in on where do you want the next boondoggle to be. Tune in to Fisher Florida Radio on Saturday because they might have the Bigfoot people too. But that's a surprise. All right. Boondoggle. Where's that boondoggle one? Hang on, 1 second. Going through all my. See, Steve, you got it easy, man. You've got. Whoa, hang on, folks. Stop the presses. We just had Semper Yak, the Marine, Devil Dog, Motivator. Just showed up in the chat room from all the way out in Okinawa, in Japan. Welcome, man. It's great to see you on. Yeah, you have a producer who can, you know, you just point at him or, you know, hold up a sign that says, you know, I want this sound bite before you want it.
Boondoggle. I gotta do this. Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
If you're not a member of Yak Angler, okay, you're wrong. Become a member of Yak Angler, a great group of guys, so much information. Doesn't matter if you've been doing this for 30 years or you're just starting off, definitely check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. And thanks, Steve, for showing up. It's great having you. Yak, we're just finishing up. Sorry about that, bud. If you want to listen to any of our shows, I know I'm kind of drawing this out, aren't I? But if you want to listen to any of the past shows, go to Blog Talk Radio, click on the link, and go to past episodes. You can find them all right there. You can also download them off of YouTube, I believe. I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, the time thing kind of kills you, huh? But listen to the past shows. It's some great stuff out there. Like us on Facebook, if you don't know it. Invite your friends and invite them on Facebook. Get your mother to like us on Facebook, because we like her, too. it's a great time all around. All right. Shameless plugs. Jackson Kayak. Go to Animal Planet. Click on the Off the Hook thing. And you see Drew Gregory and the wrestling dude, I don't know his full name, out there having fun. It's 10 a.m. Thursday in Okinawa. All right, sweet. Fish of the Devil's River. Great show. It's a hoot. So definitely check out jacksonkayak.com. Great 2013 line of kayaks coming out. Definitely get on that. Super, so much fun. Let's see here. Who else am I missing? Okuma. Fishing shouldn't be expensive. Let's see here. Drawing blanks. Harry Goods Outdoors in Florida. Can't thank them enough for everything that they do. Yeti Cooler is wildly stronger, keeps ice longer. And everyone at Yak Angler, can't say enough about those guys. Some truly awesome people. I think that's about it. If I missed one of my sponsors or accomplices, I do apologize. Get out fishing this weekend, folks. It's going to be great all up and down the East Coast. It should be a lot of fun. With that, remember, folks, yakangler.com/boondoggle. Check out all the boondoggle info. So, we're going to call it a day. I'd like to thank everyone again for showing up. Semper Yak, Team Morsh, Hammerhead, Yak Chum, Steve Chapman, unfortunately, has already taken off, Mr. R. Lee, all the guests, and for everyone that makes Kayak Fishing Radio what it is. Can't thank you all enough for that. All right. That's the show. Remember, folks, always take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD. Always have a light at night. And if you pee on the seat, please be neat and clean it up. With that, I say goodnight. That's the end of the show. Goodnight. Goodnight, 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 goodnight.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out YachtAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.